This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Speak to us in a very special way. One verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We've been talking about as a congregation serving as God would have us serve, doing what the Lord would have us do. And I'm excited about the opportunity that every disciple of First African Baptist Church will be a part of ministry in order to do effective ministry for the building up the body of Christ. We're going to do things in-house and outside of the house that God's will can be done. And we're talking more and more about what we're doing so we can better understand why we're doing what we're doing. And we've been given a how. Want to also recognize that on Thursday nights, we've been having worship. Reverend Richard Lockett is leading us in our Thursday night worship factory because we're doing our best to build us up for serving. And we ask you to come out and join us on Thursday nights at 6:30. Bible study is also at 12 noon on Thursdays. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, and it reads, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Again, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Amen.
Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, and deliverer, we come right now in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. God, we come thanking you for loving us and for caring for us as nobody can but you. God, speak to us now that we, your servants, might hear, but not just be hearers, that we may follow. God, ignite something within us in a special way, that we can hear something we haven't heard before, but hear what we have heard before, and let that spark a spark in us to do the work you've called us to do. Again, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, magnify your name. It's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
"For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If I had a subject, it would be, "Do you."
Okay.
Just do you. Who are you? Who are you? Well, just in general, I want to say who you are not. You are not what you wear.
Amen.
A lot of times, what we wear might project who we want to become. What we wear might mean something to somebody else. We judge others by things about what people wear or don't wear. It might be a reflection of who you believe you are, but it's not who you are.
Amen.
You are not the stuff you have.
Amen.
On the contrary, too, you are not the stuff you don't have.
Amen.
Yeah, it's okay to have stuff. Just don't let stuff have you.
Amen.
Yeah. So then, who are you? I'm glad you asked. You are a servant of the Most High God.
Amen.
Yeah, you're truly somebody. Yeah, you're somebody. I know this Black History Month, we go back in history, talk about the civil rights and all that, but you were somebody before Jesse Jackson started saying, "I am somebody."
Amen.
Yeah, you're somebody. You're somebody, and you're somebody special because God made you special. Psalm 139:14 says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You are so uniquely made.
Yes, sir.
There's no other you like you.
Amen.
I know y'all heard me say that before, but I want that to kind of sink in, because you know we all kind of get together and think we got other people just like us, but no, you're the only you that you have. That's why we talk about you have to take care of you. You have to make sure you're healthy physically, mentally, spiritually. You have to make sure you're healthy. So you're wonderfully made. Matter of fact, even in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Greatness lies within you. All right, so greatness lies within me. You say I'm special. Who lives in me? God himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, lives in you. God lives in you. God lives in me? Yep, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own.
That's right.
For you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
Amen.
Now, I know how we feel about saying God lives in us. I know how you feel about the Holy Spirit living in us. Because I know what you're thinking. I done messed up. I done some stuff I shouldn't have done. I done said some stuff I shouldn't have said. I done been someplace I shouldn't have been. And are you telling me that I carried the Holy Spirit into that thing with me?
Yeah.
But the power of that is because the Holy Spirit lives in you, that you have the power to get through whatever you've been going through.
Amen. Amen.
You have the power to make it even in spite of. See, now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that if one of us had gone with you where you went, or if one of us had heard you say what you said, or if one of us had been around you, we would cut you off and have nothing ever to do with you for the rest of your natural life. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he did that. Ooh, I can't believe they're there. Ooh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that they ate all that food and left all them dishes in the sink for the last 2 weeks. Ooh, I'd never go to their house again. But God lives in us, but get this, he truly, honestly loves us.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He created us and he knows everything about us. Don't try to distance yourself from God because you're not perfect. God dwells in you. God lives in you when you've invited him into your life, when you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He comes to dwell with you. And yes, he's with us through everything. You can't just choose, Lord, I want you to be with me right now in this situation, on my job, when I'm trying to get this raise. I need you with me. Holy Spirit, guide me, direct me. Speak to my boss in the name of Jesus. And make sure. Now, he's not just with you when you're trying to call him for your special stuff. He's with you through all your stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But he loves in such a way that he keeps us, he guides us from where we are to where he wants us to be.
Amen.
We have to be open enough to allow God to dwell within us and allow us to have this mind that is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
He gives us the capacity to love like he wants us to love, to care like he wants us to care, to live like he wants us to live. He's given us that capacity that's within us, but we have to make up our minds, Lord, have your way.
Yes, sir.
So it says, glorify God in this body that he's given us. In other words, do you. Or at least, do he who lives in you.
All right, all right.
Allow the God that lives in you, allow the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, allow him to come forth.
Amen.
And be shown on the outside, because truly he lives on the inside.
That's it.
You are wonderfully made. And you're made special for a reason.
Yes, sir.
Satan wants to keep the reason away from you. And let me tell you this. The more gifted you are, the more God has plans for you, the more you're going to find yourself distracted from what God wants
That's
you to
right.
do.
Say it. Say it.
Matter of fact, everybody who's listening right now, Satan is doing everything he can for you to get to your destiny. Something is beeping on your phone right now. Your phone is jiggling. Just to get you to look at your phone and get you to get distracted. Whatever God has for you, you'll find that there's something going to happen to make you say, you know what, I got to get out of church. I got to cut off this Facebook. I got to stop. Listen, pay attention, because God's greatness lives in you, and he has great works that he needs every last one of us to do, and we can do what God has assigned us to do.
Amen.
Most preachers will tell you they didn't want to preach, and that's true. Most preachers will tell you they did not want to preach. They were called to the gospel ministry. Matter of fact, I have some friends who were actually in school and actually had gone to be doctors. Some lawyers, and they've gone, and they were in school, and they had this plan of all the things they wanted to do. I wanted to be a business person. When I was a teenager, I used to carry a briefcase to class. I carried a briefcase, because that's what business people do, carry a briefcase. It had nothing in it. I just carried a briefcase everywhere I was going. But that was what I wanted. I went to college wanting to be a businessman. I'm studying business administration and accounting and statistics and all that stuff, because I'm going to do that. But God called me to do it. I did not want to do this because I knew what pastors did, because my dad was a pastor, and I sure enough, and my mom agreed, what you sure don't want to do is that. Don't do that. And I said, Mom, I promise you, I am not going to be preaching. But God.
Yes, sir.
Who had a special call on my life,
yes.
Called me, and I could not help but do what he called me to do. We have to be receptive to what God is calling us to do.
Amen.
And you don't have to be pastors. I'm not saying you're preachers, but I am saying God has something special for you to do. And if you just do what God has called you to do, you'll have the joy that God wants you to have.
Amen.
God desires that we would do his will. And we are here to live and serve in such a way that others might see Jesus.
Amen.
Just that simple. God has called you to live in such a way that others can see Jesus in you.
Amen.
Folk who will never pick up the Bible and read the Bible will always read you.
Yes. Yes.
Put another way. Y'all don't hear this so much. I have to hear it because I'm pastor. But a lot of people who don't like church that much always complain to me why they don't come to church. And they're always telling me, I don't come to church because all them people go to church are hypocrites. You know, them people at the church, they ain't real. I say, well, why don't you come?
Okay.
Let's have some real people here, whatever. Yeah. But this is what they say. I don't want to come because I don't want to play with God.
That's right.
I said, all right, so this. Do you understand that everybody who comes to worship God, we're not coming because we're perfect.
That's right.
We're coming because we are flawed.
Yes.
And we do need God to help us, to guide us, to live in us, and help us to be everything he wants us to be. What I'm saying is, people who may not read the Bible will read you. They will listen to what you say. They will listen to how you say it. And most people are around just can't wait to judge you because they know you went to church.
Come on, preacher.
You say, I'm saved. Oh, you saved? Okay, let me see this. You call yourself saved? Did you know what they said about you the other day? I'm going to tell you what they said. You don't know they said it, but they said it because they meant to say it. But when they didn't say it, they tried to say it to somebody else, but they didn't say what they said. But I'm going to tell you what they said, because when they really said what they said. Now, I didn't say it, but you know they said it. Then they want to see your reaction of how you do it. But people have to realize every last one of us who've given our life to Christ was striving to be more of what God wants to be. At best, we are a hospital. And at a hospital, everybody who's in the hospital, who's assigned to a room, everybody in the hospital assigned to a room is sick.
Now,
whenever we come to the realization that all of us who come to the hospital, that we're sick. And when we all may not be sick with the same thing.
That's right.
You know, in the hospital, they got a wing where people got the flu.
Come on now.
They got a wing with folk who have heart conditions. They got a wing with people who can't breathe. All different kind of wings. But we have the same kind of wings in the church.
Yes.
But when you put us all together, God is putting us together in such a way that if you do the part you can do, and you do what you can do, what you have, you can help somebody else.
Yes, sir.
And what I have can help somebody else, and what they have can help somebody else. And God is saying all of us together, working and serving together, can make a difference in this world.
Amen.
One of the main things we have to do is be honest with folk and say, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose from the grave. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm striving for perfection. And quit being so defensive about stuff when folk catch you. Don't let them blame Jesus. And I messed up. Yeah, I sinned. I come short. Then we have to be repentant of the stuff that we've done that we had
yes,
no business
sir.
Doing.
Yes, sir.
Don't let them folk catch you to lie. You keep on lying. Yeah, I lied. I lied. What they used to say, tell the truth, shame the devil.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is, even though we are flawed, God loves us. Even though we haven't gotten everything right, you are expected as much to allow the world to see Jesus as the pastor is or the deacons are.
Right.
You have a responsibility too to let the shame the devil and let folk know, yes, I stand for God. I love the Lord. Yeah, I know you saw me do this. I know you heard this. I know, but listen, I trust God and God guides me and cares for me and he loves me in spite of me.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Ephesians 2, 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing.
Jonah.
It's a gift of God.
Yes.
We've been saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
Yeah. It's God's grace.
Yes.
It's your faith.
Yes.
In other words, you believe that God loved you so much that Jesus died for your sins, rose from the grave.
Yes.
And by God's grace, his unmerited favor.
Yes, sir.
Not because we did something so great that God said, ooh, I need to save her. Ooh, I need to save him. He's such a great person. Oh, he's so edumacated. Oh, she got just the right amount of money. No, 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 no. It's his unmerited faith. It's his grace. And when we believe that God loves us, when we believe that Jesus died for our sins, rose from the grave, by believing that and willing to trust him all the days of our life, we come to have the Holy Spirit dwell within us.
Thank you.
For by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works.
Amen.
That's the other piece. We look at each other funny because we see some folk who are doing more stuff, and we say doing stuff around the church or doing stuff, you know, that God wouldn't be pleased with. We think the folk are doing all this stuff that they're saved because they're working. No, no, you can't do that. We're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved because you got a certain position in the church. Let me say it again. You're not saved because you got a certain position in the church. Uh-huh. And you're not saved, and it is true also the other way. Because you don't have certain positions, it does not mean that you're not saved.
That's right.
There are not certain saved positions in the church. You could be pastor and still go to hell.
Amen.
It's not a position that causes. It's the grace of God and the faith that you have in God who loves and cares for you. Now, because of that, he expects some things out of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been told down through the years, whatever else, I go someplace. I'll never forget it. I was doing some great work one day, and a lady walked up to me, and she said, you look like Reverend E.C. Tillman. You know Reverend Eugene Caesar Tillman, senior? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, that's my daddy. She said, oh, you look like your daddy. I saw you kind of walk like your daddy. You talk a little bit like your daddy. I knew you had to be Reverend E.C. Tillman's son. I knew that. That's my only message to us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Your order at some point looked like your daddy.
Your daddy, that's right.
Yeah. Our Father,
yeah,
who art in heaven. At some point, we might be getting some things wrong, but at some point, we ought to begin to act more like our daddy.
Yes, sir.
We ought to be able to walk like our daddy. We ought to be able to talk like our daddy. We ought to be able to let folk know what family we're in.
Yeah.
For by grace have been saved through faith. It's not of your doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. Now get down to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We were created in Christ Jesus. Y'all need to take time to realize that. I have been created in Christ Jesus. Yes, you have been created in Christ Jesus. He loves us so much, we're created in His image. We're created in Christ Jesus. And God has prepared something for us. We are His workmanship. In other words, He created us for the opportunity of working through us to get His will done.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yes.
We should walk in the good works. Now, when you start walking in good works, a lot of stuff going to happen. Folk not going to like you. You're going to have some haters.
Hey.
Folk not going to understand why you don't do the stuff you used to do. Why you moving on, why you doing different stuff. Matter of fact, if people don't appreciate the Christ who lives in you, keep being the Christ that lives in you.
Amen, amen. Good work.
Do you. Do what you can do. Do what you've been called to do. Do what you have been gifted to do. Put it this way, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, unto Christ. From Him the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, 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 it makes the body grow so that it may build itself up in love. We are His church.
Yes.
And a part of His church, not just First African, but everybody who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become His church. And each part needs to work together properly so the body can properly function.
Amen. Amen.
When we say that the body of Christ or we say the church is not functioning properly, you got to ask yourself, well, what am I doing? Because I am a part of the body. And every part has to work properly.
Amen.
For your physical body to work, you want all the parts of your body to work. Well, wait a minute. That's something I'm just assuming. Is there anybody here who just does not want a certain part of your body to work? You just don't want your body to work. You just want most of your body to work. You okay with most of your body working, right? Or the big parts. If the big parts working, you okay. Yeah, if just the lungs work, don't worry about the heart. Just the lungs work, you all right. Oh no, you want the lungs and the heart. And the pancreas. And the stomach. And the liver. And the gallbladder. So you want everything to work. That's what God is saying to His church. He needs all of us to work. And I know sometimes we say, you know, well, let the super Christians do that. Let the folk who come all the time do that. No, no. You are a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you have work to do. And all I'm saying is, just do you.
Yeah.
Do what God has created you to do for the building of His kingdom.
Amen.
It says, if each part is working properly, just do what God empowered you to do. Just do you. When everybody does a little, a lot will get done.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
If everybody does a little, a lot will get done. You can't say, I'm just a pew member. All I got to do is, I got the gift of pew sitting. And every Sunday, I sit in my pew. Oh, I feel His presence in my pew. He's called us to serve.
Amen.
He's called us to do things outside of Sunday morning.
Amen.
And don't point to somebody else and say, I expect them to do it because they dress better than I dress. I expect them to do it because they got a better job. I expect them to do it because it is. No, if you're unemployed and you've been and you're homeless, God expects much out of you as much as He expects anybody else. Because He's
right,
gifted you even in your situation.
Yes,
many of us will find joy even in our situation if we trust God and say, God, help me to be what You want me to be.
Yes, Lord.
Lastly, please understand this. When you offer yourself up to truly love and truly serve and really begin to be the you God created you to be, trouble, trials, and tribulation will surely come your way.
Surely.
But guess what you need to do?
Yeah.
Do you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, Beloved, Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when the glory, when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Let me say it again. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you.
Amen.
If we allow God to move in us, some folk not going to understand you.
That's right.
Some folk will even do their best to take advantage of you. And when they take advantage of you, the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you.
Yes, sir.
It does not say, pray for those who despitefully use you and make sure they don't use you no more. I'm still looking for it. It don't say that. I've been trying my best to find that. Because it's a bad feeling when folk use you and misuse you. But when God bless you to be a blessing, you can't help but be a blessing and be an example of his blessing.
Amen.
You got to be able to say, God gave, God loves, God cares, and be able to allow your light to shine that others may see your good works and give God glory.
Amen.
It will happen in your life. He goes on to say in 1 Peter 4, 6 through 10, for this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, this is what he tells us, church. Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another.
Yes.
Keep loving one another. Earnestly. Yeah, keep loving one another. Earnestly. Keep loving one another. Earnestly. I know they get on your last nerve. But you're saved. Not perfect. But keep loving one another earnestly.
Amen.
Quit letting there be folk that you don't like and don't want to be around, and they love the Lord too. If y'all both love the Lord, you're going to have to find a common purpose. You don't have to think the same. You don't have to want the same things. One can want the walls blue. Somebody else can want the walls red. Somebody else can want it green. But when it comes to Jesus, you ought to love each other.
Amen. Amen.
Preach, Tillman.
Preach.
Love one another earnestly. Why? Since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And as each receives a gift, use it to serve one another. Whatever gifts we have, use it to serve one another. I'm done. Listen, I know we'll say, well, God has gifted us. We want to give everything back to God. I want to give God my whole heart. I'm going to give God everything. I want to serve God. I want to serve God. I don't believe there's not one person in here that will say, I don't want to serve God. I believe we all want to serve God. Is that true? Everybody who want to serve God, let me see your hands. You want to serve God. Hallelujah. I'm waiting. Y'all, some people didn't hear me yet. If you want to serve God, raise your hand. Okay, all right, amen, all right. Now, this is it, y'all. This is it. This is it. I'm done. Get this. I'm not. Listen. This is it. This is it. Because all of us have an opportunity to serve God.
Yeah, that's right.
All of us. You say, I want to serve God. I want to serve God. God is not waiting for us to get to heaven and start serving him and start shouting his name. No. The best way to serve God is to serve one another.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's it.
Look for an opportunity to help your brothers and sisters all around you every day.
Amen.
For the cause of Christ. I want to say, there are people who walk in the streets of Savannah that's very depressed. Some young people.
Yes.
That have seen a lot of stuff and have not had proper counseling.
Yes.
When they've seen and had their best friends killed on the streets of Savannah. They've had terrible things happen to their families. And they've seen a lot of terrible things. And they look kind of rough when you see them. They look like they don't want you to say nothing to them. But trust me, they wait on somebody to serve them.
Yes, sir.
They wait on somebody to say, I love you. God loves you.
Yes.
Serve. Let the Lord use you. I know what you're saying. I don't want to speak to them because they might kill me. I don't want to speak to them. They might do something to me. I don't want to speak to them. They might cuss me out. What the Bible says, he who will save his life will lose it.
Yes.
But he who will lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same will save it. That's a hard message for a pastor to preach, because I love y'all. But you do understand God has called us to a higher purpose, and we need it right now in Savannah.
Right now. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, but not only do the police need to know who's doing the killings and all this kind of stuff, we need to know who it is that need our help. Who needs to find employment? Who need to have somebody to feed them? Who needs somebody to help find them clothes? Who needs some place to stay? Who needs something that's lacking in their life? And we say, Lord, here am I, use me, help me to help somebody else.
Amen, amen.
Okay, you say, well, I don't believe that's how God want me to serve. I want to serve God. I don't want to serve him. I ain't studying him. I want to serve God. That low life, I don't want to serve them. I want to serve God. I want to serve the one who sits high and looks low. I want to serve God. I don't care about them. Especially don't care about her. You don't know what they did. I know everything about them. I know their family. You want me to do something for them? I ain't doing that. I want to serve God. Ooh. Hallelujah. I want to serve God. That's how you serve God.
Amen. Say it.
All right. Somebody say, I don't believe that. Pastor, you making that up. I'm glad you said it. Matthew chapter 25. Take time to read when you get home. Start in verse 31. If you've ever been in school and you had to take the final examination, and it used to be, you pass the final test, you can pass the course because they put everything on the final. So if you didn't learn other stuff, you learned this at the final. And you pass that, you pass. You get a passing grade. And what it used to like, sometimes I liked it, sometimes I didn't, was when you had an open book test. But the book was this big. That wasn't going to help. But let me tell you, God is telling us right now, I'm going to tell you what the final test is. You pass the final test, you got heaven. That's what he said. You say you pass the final test, you got everything you want. The final test, what's the final test? He tells us. In Matthew 25, 31, he begins saying, at the end of time, everybody's going to be gathered together, all nations. And God will separate the nations as a shepherd will separate the sheep from the goat. And he says to one group of them, the one on his right, he says, listen, come and inherit everything prepared for you from the foundation. Everything else you did in the word of God, he said, come and get the inheritance I have for you. Come and get everything I have for you. Now, listen, God says, come and get everything I have for you. Let me stop for a second. How many of you would be excited if Bill Gates and Oprah Winfrey said, come and get everything I have for you?
Jesus.
Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, come and get everything I got for you. Yeah. Yeah, you know that they got something for you. You want that. But I'm not talking about Bill Gates. I'm not talking about Oprah Winfrey.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about the creator and sustainer of life,
yes,
the one who owned the cattle 1,000 years. He said, come and get what I have for you. He said, I have it for you from the foundation of the earth. Now, he said, this is how you get it. He said, this is why you get it. This is the final test. This is why you get it. Everybody come together. It's all over. This is judgment. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me.
Yes, sir.
When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. Now that group on the right said, wait a minute. Hold on. I don't remember. I don't remember you being hungry, Lord. And I fed you. I don't remember you being thirsty and I gave you something to drink. I don't remember you being a stranger and I took you in. I don't remember you, God, being naked and had to clothe you. I don't remember you being sick and I visit. I don't remember you, God, being in prison. I don't remember that. He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Come on and receive your reward.
Come on.
What is all that saying? You can serve right where you are.
Yes, sir.
And when you're serving others, you're serving God.
Amen.
You might cook very good meals, and you want to have the best meal you can possibly have. If you knew Jesus was coming to dinner today, you would have the best meal cook you could cook. You would have the chicken just right, collard greens just right, cornbread just right, peach cobbler. But not too much sugar. Because the Lord is coming to eat today. But he sends each one of us. Now, are we worthy to be who God created us to be? Yes. Because he says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says we're perfect. Not because of what we have done, not because of how we live, but because of what he did.
Amen.
What did he do? He came through 42 generations. Came to this earth and went about doing good. As Jesus came and lived on this earth and went about doing good, he lived as an example of how we ought to live, how we ought to love, how we ought to care, how we ought to give, how we ought to forgive.
Amen.
That's how he lived on this earth.
Yeah.
They talked about him. They ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But he kept on marching toward Calvary because he knew he had to live a life that we could emulate. He had to live a life that we could see. He kept doing good in spite of how folk treated him. Can you see our Lord and Savior? You talking about you had a kangaroo court. Can you look at this court? When they got him, they arrested him for just being Jesus, for being who he really was, for saying he was a son of God. They arrested him. But not only did they arrest him, they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Even when he got to the final trial, the judge said, I find no fault in him. But then he sentenced him to capital punishment. He sentenced him to die. And Jesus, on his way to the cross, for your sins and mine, they whipped him all night long, pulled the hair out of his beard. Look at our Lord and Savior as he's on his way to Calvary. Can you see him when he's getting to Calvary? That they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns already on his head. He's hanging on the cross for you and for me, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you see him as he's dying there? It's not that pretty picture that we see of Jesus on a cross with a little blood coming from here and a little blood from his hands, a little blood. That's not the real picture. No, because the Bible teaches us that he had been whipped all night long, hair pulled out of his beard, till he really looked unrecognizable. Isaiah says he was looking unrecognizable, swollen. And there he is on the cross, dying for you and for me. And the Bible says he died. It's Friday. He died. They call it Good Friday. But he was a bloody mess. And he died for you and for me. But anybody glad that's not how the story ends?
Amen. Hallelujah.
He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But what?
Early
on Sunday morning. He got up from the grave.
Oh, yeah.
With power over the grave.
Oh,
victory over death.
Yes.
10 days later, he ascended into heaven. And then sent back the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
The Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us to be who God created us to be.
Amen.
To say you can do you because of who he is.
Yes.
If you trust him, obey him, love him, you got this made.
Amen.
God has it. And listen, take time to talk with each other.
Amen.
So we can help each other to be what God would have us be. You depressed? You feel like the world don't love you, and which it doesn't.
That's right.
But God does. And great as he that's in you, the he that's in the world, trust God and receive everything God has for you.
Amen.
And listen, please don't discount anybody.
Amen.
Love everybody.
Amen.
If they get on your last nerve, just take time to listen to them. And when you finish listening to them, go on about your business. But treat everybody the way you want to be treated.
Amen.
You don't know what happened in their life. They don't know what happened in your life.
You're right.
At some point, that could be you talking to you.
Come on,
instead of them.
Yes,
God, listen, God want to bless us, but we're going to have to be, as it was in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, where they come together on one accord with one purpose, that he will get glory. Let's pray. God, gracious God, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. God created in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us. Work in us, God, that we'll be everything you want us to be. Forgive us of all sin and unrighteousness. Bless us now that we can truly be a blessing unto others. We thank you and we love you. Now, God, if there's anyone here today who do not know you, we ask that they will come to know you on today in a special way. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.